Yeah, very warm welcome to you this morning. Hope you are enjoying being with us, especially if you're visiting. And as Tim said, my name is Matthew. And recently, I've been watching this program called The Last Kingdom. It's on BBC on Thursday nights. I don't know if anyone's seen it. And on Thursday nights, we have the youth, which I help run with the team. And so afterwards, the adrenaline is high. I need something to help me relax after, and this is an hour-long program. I've been enjoying it. I've been getting really into it. It's all about like the Danes invading the kind of post-Roman Britain, and it's basically it's the type of thing. It's what I studied when I was at university. So not only am I enjoying the drama, but also I'm enjoying the history part, which is a bit sad. I even got one of my old books out to check. So it's not very accurate, but there's a few names. Some of those people really did exist. But anyway. Oh, why did I admit that? Anyway, now, there's a couple of things I've noticed about this program that I found like particularly interesting. It's not to do with the history, really. But part of the theme is obviously you've got the kind of early Middle Ages church in there. And God and faith is quite like a theme of the series. But you see how really like God and faith in this program is kind of just like a superstitious thing. And for the characters, it's not very real. It's just, you know, like a token gesture all the time, the way they refer to God and to church and things. And nothing really happens. And it kind of doesn't really reflect what we know of the reality of our faith and who Jesus is and that he is real. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in a primary school to do an assembly. And we turned up, but then when we got there, they'd already had an assembly planned, and they were doing a special harvest assembly. And so the teacher said, oh, we've already got something planned, but maybe you'd be happy to say a harvest prayer at the end of the assembly. So I was like, yeah, sure, great, no problem. What's a harvest prayer? So I quickly looked it up on my phone. So they did the assembly, and then, you know, at the end, I came and closed the assembly with a harvest prayer, which was great, and it's good to be there. But as I was driving away, I was thinking to myself, you know, it's great to be able to, you know, do like a harvest prayer, but really it was just like a token gesture. I was kind of reading out like a harvest religious poem, effectively. And just like a few days before, I'd been in Cardiff with a team, and we'd been in this Catholic church, and we'd been praying for people for healing. And this lady called Ruth that I prayed for, who had arthritis in both knees, and she couldn't kneel down without pain and without clicking. And after praying for her, she got completely healed, and the pain went, and she was like overjoyed, and she was amazed, and I was amazed. And like, that's the reality, isn't it? Like, that is real, and that's what we know, like, our faith in Jesus is and who God is. And it was such a contrast to then, like, 2 days later, like, reading out, you know, the harvest poem. Do you know what I mean? And it reminds me in this program. And today we're looking at life in the Spirit as we carry on with our real series, where we're looking at how do we know and relate to God and our faith in him and our relationship with Jesus in a real way in our everyday lives. And today we're looking at life in the Spirit, in the hope, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and how we live with God every day in a real way in our lives. Then the other thing I've noticed with this program is I don't really get into series, like TV series, very often. But this one I've been getting really into. I'm looking forward to it every Thursday night. But the really annoying thing is that they always leave you on a cliffhanger, don't they? And you're like, and you know, you don't notice the hour's gone, and it always catches you by surprise. And it's like getting really dramatic, and then suddenly the credits come up, and you're like, oh, why now? Like, you can't leave it there. And no episode ever concludes on its own. And then you're just left waiting for next week. And sometimes, like, because I normally watch an iPlayer, normally I try and cheat and see, is next week's available somewhere? And it never is. And it's really annoying. But it reminds me, I've been thinking about this, how there were people and generations of people who were looking forward to the day when, as people, we could live in the power of the Holy Spirit and that we could know God with us like we do every single day. And there were people that anticipated that and longed for that and looked forward to that and would wish that it would come in their lifetime. And Jesus once said this. He sent out some of his disciples and they went into the towns and villages and they ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit and they saw people healed and raised to life and you know, miraculous things. And they came back and they reported to Jesus everything that they had seen and they were celebrating. And then Jesus turned to them and said, how privileged you are to see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and many kings have longed to see what you have seen and heard. And what a privilege it is that we have, that we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, yeah, there were kings and prophets who'd long to see what we see and to experience what we experience and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? It's like with Wales, they finally qualified for a major tournament in our lifetime. I cannot believe it. But I mean, you know, this is even greater. And not only that, but it's a gift. It's a gift from God that he gives to us, a free gift from God, from heaven. This is what Jesus says. He says, if you people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And it's a free gift and it's available to each one of us. So firstly then, as we look through, we're going to look through today, what does life in the Spirit look like and how can we walk in it? Who is the Holy Spirit, firstly? Who is he? Well, the first thing is that he is a person. He is God. And he's part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And God lives in unity together, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They live in relationship together and they work together. And we see it, for example, in this passage. This is Jesus speaking, and here he refers to the Father in heaven who gives the Holy Spirit. And we see how God is three in one and how he works together in unity. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we experience God, his presence, his power, his love, his peace, his patience, his kindness. It's through the Holy Spirit that we experience that here on earth. And in the Old Testament, we see how the Holy Spirit came on certain individuals at certain times for special tasks and special occasions. You remember a few years ago when we looked at a David series and the life of King David. And when Samuel came and anointed David to be king, it says in 1 Samuel 16, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And it came upon him to gift him in leadership and to be the king. And the Holy Spirit would come on people for specific purposes at specific times. But there was a promise that one day there would be a day when the Holy Spirit would be open and would come to all people, and everyone could live in the life of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the prophet Joel said. He said, and afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And this is what happened through Jesus. When Jesus came and he restored our relationship between us and God through his death on the cross, where he took the punishment and the consequences of sin, which separates us from God and from relationship with him. But he rose again to new life. And when we follow Jesus and we put our trust in him, the Holy Spirit enters our lives. It makes our spirits alive to God. Whereas once our spirits were dead to God, the Holy Spirit, he comes in and he makes our spirits alive to God. He connects us with him. We're united with God, no longer separate. And Jesus, he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is our example of how we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit too. The way that Jesus taught, his miracles, but also the wisdom that he showed, his discernment, times where he was tired and worn out and had bad news, but yet he was still patient and compassionate and kind and merciful. The way that he showed courage in the face of great danger. He did all this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, he described it like this to someone who'd never heard of it before, to a man called Cornelius. He said, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so Jesus lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they worked together. And Jesus promised us that he would send us the Holy Spirit and to everyone who follows him. This is what Jesus said. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And so now today, we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we look through the New Testament, and especially, for example, like the book of Acts, we see how ordinary men and women like you and me lived in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. And so for us today, we're going to look at what are the ways that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk with him in our lives and live a life in the Spirit. What does that look like? And we're going to look at some experiences from the Bible and also some recently. So we're going to look at three things. I mean, there's loads of things we could look at. We're just going to look at three because three is a good number, isn't it? Okay, so the first one, as we said, was that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit isn't an it, he is a he. He's a third person of the Trinity. He's not like an unknown force in the ether or some kind of weird energy that we might tap into or something from Star Wars where like the force be with you. But he's a person. He's the person of the living God. And so one of the things that he does is he brings us closer to God in our relationship with God. It's a relationship with the Holy Spirit that we have. He makes his home in us. He brings our spirits alive to God. He adopts us into his family. And he helps us when we worship. He helps us to pray. He teaches us about who God is. As we read the Bible, he opens it up to us so we can understand it. He is working, hopefully, well, is right now as I speak. He is helping me to talk and hopefully is helping you as you listen and, you know, revealing more of who God is. He works with us to bring us closer to God. And when we spend time with people, they rub off on us, don't they? So students, if you have moved here from outside Swansea, or anyone really who's moved here from outside Swansea, you will notice that when you go back home, that no doubt people will be saying to you, oh, you're sounding really Welsh. Oh, that phrase was really Welsh. When you go back home for Christmas, you have to watch out for this. And I'm sure that soon you'll be picking up some Swansea phrases. Because when we hang out with people, they rub off on us, don't they? Or like Tammy, for example, who did our kids spot this morning. Now, Tammy volunteers at the office, so we spend a lot of time up there together. And her boys, Ollie and Tom, who are in youth, are big fans of Swansea City football team. And so now Tammy is also becoming a fan of Swansea City football team. And often at lunchtime, we will have discussions about how Ashley Williams is doing and should Gary Monk be sacked or not. And Tammy is learning and is taking an interest in Swansea City football team because her boys are interested in it. And it's something that they share and enjoy talking about together. And in the same way, when we spend time through the Holy Spirit with God, the Holy Spirit transforms us and God's desires become our desires and his interests become our interests. His kindness becomes our kindness. His love for the poor, his concern for justice becomes our love for the poor and our concern for justice. And the Holy Spirit works inside us and we become more and more like God. I remember watching this video recently about this girl called Sarah, and she worked in Starbucks. And she said that she loved working in Starbucks because she loved to connect with people and to engage with people. And she was a Christian. She is a Christian. But then one day a lady came in who was deaf. And she realized that as she was trying to chat and communicate, that she couldn't. And she was unable to have a conversation with this lady because she was deaf. And in that moment, God stirred her heart and moved her. And God's love for this lady and God's desire that she would know how much God loves her stirred up in this girl, Sarah. And so she went away and she learned sign language so that now she can communicate with people in the deaf community and that she can share with them how much God loves them and that he has a plan for their life and that he cares for them. And God's love and God's desire and God's heart welled up in her and motivated her to go and do something that's quite difficult really, isn't it? And it's a great story and you can watch it online on this website called Moving Works and the video calls Follower. And in Galatians, Paul wrote this, talking about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, this is a long scripture, so we'll read it together. Are you ready? Well, I'll read it, but you can read along. This is what he said, Galatians 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature craves. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And when we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the Christian life. And this is the difference with trying to do life in our own strength and in willpower alone. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us and who puts the interests of God in our heart. Now, I had a friend at university called Tristan. And Tristan had this conviction about chocolate. And he had seen a program or he'd read something where it talked about how child slavery is sometimes involved in the production of chocolate. And the only way to guarantee that chocolate is slave-free is to eat fair trade chocolate. And so he would only eat fair trade chocolate. Now, I'm a big fan of chocolate. I like all types of chocolate, especially like Cadbury's fudge, which isn't fair trade, unfortunately. But when I was friends with Tristan, he was so convicted by this, and it was such a passion for him, that I wanted to do it too. And whilst I was at university, and we'd hang out together, and through the whole time, I chose only to eat fair trade chocolate as well, because his passion for it rubbed off on me. And now I was motivated to do it too. And when I'd go into the shop or a service station on my way home, and there's a counter, and there's the array of chocolate, I wasn't even tempted to go for a Cadbury's fudge. I didn't want to. I wanted to eat and only eat fair trade chocolate, because that conviction had become my conviction, and his passion had become my passion. And in the same way, when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers us to live a Christian life and to choose the choices that God would want us to choose and to live wisely and to step forward into freedom. And that's why the power of the Holy Spirit is so important for our lives. And that's why when we read through the book of Acts, we see on numerous occasions where people found out about Jesus and they repented and they turned to him, but they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit yet. And when the apostles and when disciples heard about this, they went straight out and they would pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For example, in Acts 19, we see Paul arrives in the city of Ephesus and he finds some believers there. And he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Well, what baptism did you receive?" And they said, "John's baptism." So then Paul explained, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hand on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There was about 12 of them in all." And so you see how it was so important, and that they would pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that they could live in the life of the Spirit and in the fullness of the things that God had for them. And so the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in our lives. And he does it in a real way, a way that we know and experience, and sometimes in specific ways. I remember when I was at university, and it was about this time in my first year, and everyone was organizing themselves into what houses they would live for the following year. And I got on really well with the people in my halls, but I didn't necessarily want to live with them in a house the following year. And so I was looking for who was I going to move in with. But when I was chatting with my course mates and things, I found that they'd already organized themselves. And then when I was with my churches, they'd already organized themselves and the football boys. And I was soon left with, oh no, what am I going to do? I have to find a flat on my own. But I was stuck, and it was, it was concerning. I didn't know, what I was going to do. And I remember praying about it. And it was a Saturday morning. I remember asking God to help me, because I didn't know what was going to happen. And anyway, later that day, I heard that another friend of mine who went to a different church, that they were having some kind of church meeting, a team meeting or something. And afterwards, they were all going to the local pub just to hang out together. And so I wasn't invited, because it wasn't a group I was in, but I just happened to hear about it. But anyway, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say to go along to this, go along to the pub and hang out with them. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not really invited. But I just felt an urge in my spirit here that this was something that I should do and that I should go along. And so I did. And one of my friends, Ben, also happened to be there. And so we started chatting. And he was sat there with three others who I knew a little. And they were talking about that they were all going to move in together next year. And they turned to me and said, what are your plans? What are you doing next year with the house? And I said, oh, well, actually, I haven't sorted anything out yet. I'm not sure what's happening. And they said, well, do you want to move in with us? So I said, yeah, great. And so we moved in together, and we enjoyed such a great time. We became such good friends that we stayed together for the following year as well. And it was amazing, and that was a real answer to prayer. And the Holy Spirit was the one that prompted me to go to that event. And if I hadn't gone, then I wouldn't have moved in with them. It was amazing. It reminds me of, there's a story in Acts 8, where one time Philip is on the desert road, and he sees a chariot in the distance, and he hears the Holy Spirit say to him, it says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go and walk along beside the chariot. And as he walks alongside, he hears an Ethiopian man reading from the scriptures, but he doesn't understand it. And Philip's able to explain it to him. And the Ethiopian gives his life to Jesus and chooses to follow him there and then. And he gets baptized on a lake beside the road, a lake in the desert road. Interesting how that works. But isn't that amazing? But it was the Holy Spirit that prompted him to do it. Now, in youth, a little while ago, we did the Youth Alpha series, and it was excellent. And one of the weeks, they were talking about the Holy Spirit and how he speaks to us and how he guides us and how we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there was a couple of really good stories in there on a video, so I thought I'd show them to you. Isn't that amazing how the Holy Spirit speaks to us? And my dad had a similar experience once when he was working in Hereford before he moved to Swansea. And he was working for a church there, and he was organizing some like evangelism for them. And he said that as he was planning, he thought to himself, well, I won't do door-to-door work because that never works. And as soon as he said that, he felt the Holy Spirit speak to him and say, do door-to-door work. And it was just like a conviction in his heart, in his spirit. I was like, oh, well, it doesn't really work. Okay, but in obedience, he did it anyway. And so when they did it, the first house that he knocked on and went in, it was in the afternoon, there was a man there called Keith. And that very morning, he had been up in the woods because some terrible circumstances had happened in his life. And he was decided that he was going to take his own life. And he'd been in the woods, and he was even up the tree. But then at that moment, he heard his son's car drive past the woods. And his son was looking for him, and he recognized the sound of the car. So he thought to himself, oh, I won't do it now because I don't want my son to be the one to find me. I'll come back and do it tonight. And so he, you know, left the tree, left the things there, and went home with his son. And then in between, my dad knocks on the door and comes in, talks about faith, talks about Jesus, how he can transform our lives, how he loves us as a plan for our life. And anyway, Keith decided not to go back later, and he gave his life to Jesus, and it turned his life around, and he joined the church, and they became great friends, him and his wife and the family of our family. And it's amazing how when we're open to the Holy Spirit that he speaks to us, and he speaks to us for our benefit, and he speaks to us and moves us for the benefit of others as well. He gives us discernment when we're making choices, so we know what's a wise choice and what isn't a wise choice, so that we can see, oh, there's some danger in this, or no, I think this is a good thing to go for. He speaks to us through conviction, so that we know what is right and wrong in our lives, and what is good for us, and what is unhelpful for us. Another friend I had at university, she was a Christian, but she'd never been told and she'd never seen from the Bible how it's wise and helpful, and how the Bible shows that when you're looking for a life partner, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, that it's good to look for another Christian, because then you've got the same values and your goal in life is the same, and you can journey together, and one isn't pulling the other away from your relationship with God, but that you're both, your ultimate goal in life in the short term and the long term is the same thing, that you both want to pursue God in your lives. But she'd never heard about this, didn't know this. And so a friend, a guy that she knew, asked her out, and he wasn't a Christian. And so they started to go out for a little while. But she, after a few, you know, weeks or whatever, she felt convicted by the Holy Spirit that actually this relationship wasn't going to be helpful for her. It wasn't going to be helpful for the things that God wanted from her in her life, and it wasn't going to work for this guy either, because God was leading her in a particular direction, and he was, you know, pulling away. The things that he wanted out of life, both in the short term and the long term, were different from what she knew that she wanted and what God wanted to do with her. And she felt convicted and moved by the Holy Spirit that this was unhelpful. And so she responded to that. And she, they ended that relationship and they remained friends. But she responded to that conviction. And then it was only like a few weeks or a few months later that she met a guy in her church and they started dating. And then they, got married. And now they've been married for 3 or 4 years. But in responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it was able to lead her down a path that was more helpful for her and the things that God would want for her. And in Galatians 5, it says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." And so the next thing with the living life in the Holy Spirit is that he gives us power, power for living the Christian life. He empowers us to live faith-filled lives. He empowers us to trust God with our choices and to do the things that he asks us. He empowers us to move increasingly into freedom in our lives. And Gret was sharing a story with the youth about when she was doing her GCSEs. She was particularly worried, but it wasn't just with her exams. She was a worrier in general. She would describe herself as a worrier. And this is the story that she says. She says, "It was coming up to my GCSEs, and I used to be such a worrier. And because of feeling so worried and fearful about exams, I would revise solidly. But then that still didn't give me any peace or any confidence. One day I remember the worry getting too much and being really upset on the bus home from school. When I got home, I remember going straight to my room, and I just prayed and read my Bible and worshipped all at the same time. I sat there for a long time, reading my Bible and talking to God, and I know that there was an instant change in me. For the rest of the exam period, I had perfect peace and confidence. I also believe that one time had a long-lasting transformation on me, as I've no longer been a worrier, but would be considered quite a chilled person by now. So I believe that God has the power to transform our lives." And Jesus does have the power to bring transformation to our lives through the Holy Spirit and to bring us increasingly into freedom from a whole variety of things. And one of those things as well that we've seen a lot of is how he brings, he's at work when he brings healing and miracles. And it was brilliant, wasn't it? 2 weeks ago when we had the baptisms, when Mike, for example, was sharing about how he got healed from tendonitis, from an injury at work, and that he'd been going to physio, and he was due to start acupuncture treatment. He would wear straps on his arms every day. And then we prayed for him just on one time, and he wasn't a Christian, he was new to church. And we prayed for him, and he said straight away that the pain like lifted out of his arms. And when he went back to physio, and he said they had all the needles laid out ready to start acupuncture, and they tested his arm, and they brought in a consultant for a second opinion, and they discharged him because God completely healed him. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that does that. Isn't that amazing? And then the next thing is that through the Holy Spirit, God's presence is with us, his life-giving presence every day. Jesus said this, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." And the Holy Spirit is a life-giving power that empowers our lives. It brings a foundation of peace, joy, strength, comfort, whatever the circumstances we face. Because circumstances in life change very quickly, don't they? Like, you can have a day where you're having a great day and everything's happy and everything's going well, and then suddenly in a moment something can happen and everything changes. The circumstances can change so rapidly. But the Holy Spirit is with us constantly, and it provides a foundation that whatever the circumstances are, and sometimes in spite of the circumstances, the strength, the peace, the power, the love, the goodness of God is with us. I recently met a lady called Solveig, and she had been a Christian for 1 year. And I asked her, "What has this year been like?" And she said, "It's been amazing. I've never felt so secure. It's a rock under my feet. God is reliable. He's faithful. I've never felt peace like this before." She said, "I wish that everybody would experience Jesus like I have." And then she went on to tell me some of the things that had gone on in her life in the past 18 months or so, how she'd lost her partner, she'd lost her home, and it'd been some terrible circumstances. But yet, at the same time, she's able to say, "It's a rock that I've been able to stand on. I've never felt so secure." And King David, when he lived, that was a time where there was no security. And he was, chased by King Saul and by armies into mountains and caves. And there was a time where it was even dangerous to go to sleep at night because there was no like security and there was always a constant threat. And when you look through the Psalms, you often see how David talks about having the confidence to go to sleep at night because he knows that God is there and God is with him. And in Psalm 3, he says, I can lie down and go to sleep and I'll wake up again because the Lord gives me strength. Thousands of troops may surround me, but I am not afraid. And the Holy Spirit brings God's life-giving presence into our lives wherever we find ourselves. And so how then can we journey with the Holy Spirit? And how can we walk increasingly with him and know more of his power and presence in our lives? Well, here's a few things that we can do. The first one is to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And to ask him regularly, every day, Holy Spirit, would you fill me today? Would you help me with work? Would you help me when I'm in this meeting? Would you help me when I'm meeting this person? Will you speak to me? Holy Spirit, fill me. Let me know your presence as I go through my day to day and involve him in all the aspects of our life. The second thing is that our walk with the Holy Spirit comes out of relationship. And so in that sense, there's a choice in it. And just like we invest in relationships so that our relationships grow, our walk with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with him, is a 24/7, everyday thing that we can invest in, that we invest with our worship, that we invest with prayer, that we invest when we read our Bible, when we spend time with God, when we're at home, when we're in the car, when we're out walking the dog, if you have one, or walking the micro pig, if you've got one of those. But wherever we are, that we're investing in that relationship. And also, when we meet together, Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And when we meet together, we can be filled and experience God's presence and know him close and know the Holy Spirit. So like on Sunday mornings or worship night tonight or in our small groups and other things. And then another area is what we feed our lives on is another area of investment as well. Because what we watch, what we listen to, where we go, the things that we see, the voices that we hear, the influences around us, they feed us. They feed our lives. And so it's important that we're feeding our lives on good, nourishing, spiritual things too. Like times together and worship and prayer in our own time. Every day when I come out of the Penland building and I'm about to go home, if there's a bit of a breeze glowing, as soon as I step out, I can smell Carithin chips wafting down from the crossroads. And then when I get into my car, the smell gets even stronger as I approach the traffic lights. And to the right is Carithin chips. And to the left is my home, where it's probably like vegetable pasta, which is not as enticing. But every day, I make that choice. Now, sometimes it's good to enjoy Carithin chips. But obviously, I'm not going to get Carithin chips every time because I know my body needs some vegetable too, right? Some vegetable pasta sometimes. And in the same way, what we feed our lives on is really important, that we're nourishing our lives with some good, wholesome, spiritual things. Sometimes I'm in my car and I love to listen to music. I love to have the radio on and listen to all the new things coming out. But sometimes I know that in that time, I really need to invest in some prayer and in some worship. And so I choose to put a worship CD on instead. And I pray and I ask God to fill me and to help me. And it's that choice that I'm not always just feeding my mind and my spirit and my soul and my heart with what's on TV and what's on the music and what my friends are talking about. But I'm choosing to invest in some nourishing spiritual food too. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God who sent me. And it's about nourishment for our lives. And that brings us on to the last thing I'm going to say, is that when we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. Jesus says, as you go into the world, I will be with you always. And as we go, the Holy Spirit walks with us. When we share about Jesus, when we talk about our faith, when we offer to pray for people, there we feel, we know, we experience the power and the reality of God's presence in our lives. Mike, who got baptized a couple of weeks ago, was telling me how he'd had the best day at work in Amazon when he shared his faith with his friends there for the first time. And he's like, I was so surprised at how open they were about it. And I thought, I wasn't sure how they would take it. But they really were interested and they were asking me questions. And it's opened up like a whole new dimension at work. And he was so excited and his such a like a new passion for his job had come to him because he'd invited the power and presence of God to fill him and shared it with people at work. And he knew that God was with him. And when we go and when we share our faith and when we talk with people, and we open up the great goodness that God has for people, there we know that God is with us and we feel his presence. Jesus said, don't worry about the words you're going to say. When you talk about me, I will give you the words to say. His Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus said, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. And as we give, we know the Holy Spirit with us. So let's be encouraged to go and to see the presence of God, the Holy Spirit with us in our daily lives. From tomorrow, Monday morning. Shall we pray together and invite the Holy Spirit to fill us now? And as I do, why don't the band come up? Holy Spirit, you are a person. You are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here with us and that we can walk with you in our lives. And as Jesus said, what a privilege it is to know you in our lives. And would you come now and fill each one of us? Would you fill us with your power to see you do miracles and amazing things? Would we be open to hear from you as you speak into our lives, as you guide us for the goodness of our lives and to help others? Would you fill us with that foundation of peace and joy and strength and life right now? Whatever circumstances we face, we invite you to come and to fill us and to be with us and to help us. And Lord, I thank you that is a free gift. You say freely you give this to us as we ask. And Holy Spirit, would you empower us and give us courage to freely give this and share this with others too. In Jesus' name. Amen.